book up there. I, as I was studying for this lesson, we had just finished studying length in Acts. And I read an article. I wish I could remember where I read this article from. But I read an article, and it prompted me to give this lesson concerning the breath of God. And as I started studying for this lesson, I realized that this word breath is used 42 times in the Bible. One time in the New Testament and 41 times in the Old Testament. And I thought that was kind of unusual. And sure enough, the verse that we find in the New Testament is in Acts chapter 17 in verse 25. That verse says, "Neither is worship with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things." And then, if you look in the Old Testament, there's the 41 verses that are listed in the Old Testament. There's two or three things that you can do with this booklet. You can put it in as a bookmarker in Acts 17 and verse 25, and use it like that. And at the same time as you do that, you can go back and read these 41 verses in the Old Testament. And the New Testament verse is where the Apostle Paul is at the midst of Mars Hill, and he is preaching to the philosophers and those that had the altar of the unknown God. And you can take that event, go back and read these Old Testament verses, and see if it doesn't apply in some way as far as the teaching that the Apostle Paul was doing at that time. So that's my lesson's about the breath of God, but this was just a something I ran across that was really interesting to me. Very unusual, being 41 times in the Old Testament and only one time in the New Testament. This afternoon, the lesson is entitled "The Breath of Life." This lesson, I studied because of an article that I read. Before I read this article, I want to read Exodus 3 and verse 13, and then I'm going to read the article. There in Exodus 3 and verse 13, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" The article that I read that prompted me to put the lesson together. It says, there was a moment when Moses had the nerve to ask God what his name is. God was gracious enough to answer, and the name that he gave is recorded in the Hebrew as YHWH. It says, over time, we've arbitrarily added an A and an E in there to get Yahweh, presumably because we have a preference to vowels. But scholars have noted that the letters YHWH represents a breathing sounds or aspirated consonants. When pronounced without intervening vowels, it actually sounds like breathing. Yah, inhale, way, exhale. So a baby's cry, his first breath, speaks the name of God. A deep sigh calls his name, or a groan, or a gasp that is too heavy for mere words. Even an atheist would speak his name unaware that their very breath is giving constant acknowledgement to God. I thought that was pretty interesting. It's said, likewise, a person leaves this earth with their last breath when God's name is no longer filling their lungs. So when I can't utter anything else, is my cry calling out His name. Being alive means I speak His name constantly. So is it heard the loudest when I'm the quietest? In sadness, we breathe heavy sighs. In joy, our lungs feel almost like they will burst. In fear, we hold our breath and have to be told to breathe slowly to help us calm down. When we are about to do something hard, we take a deep breath to find our courage. When I think about it, breathing is giving Him praise, even in the hardest moments. This is so beautiful and fills me with emotion every time I gasp the thought. God chose to give Himself a name that we can't help but speak every moment we're alive. All of us, always, everywhere, waking, sleeping, breathing with the name of God on our lips. The author is unknown. Very interesting article. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. We're going to begin this evening with Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. There we read of the creation of man. There it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." The word "formed" means to fashion, to form in mind. And it is the same as the potter with a vision of what to do with clay. The word is used of a potter, or it is used of a woodcarver forming their objects into something. The Hebrew word translated "formed" is used in reference to God forming things. Isaiah 43 and verse 7, there it says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." In Isaiah 43 and verse 21, there it says, "This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. They shall show forth my praise." So this word "formed" tells us that we were created in the mind of God, and then He went to work. In Genesis 1, verse 26 through verse 28, it says, "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So this word used for "create" in these verses is a verb, and is only used for the creative acts of God. It means to form by cutting. When God created man, He made him out of the most basic elements, the dust of the earth, or the dust of the ground. There is nothing spectacular in what man is made of, only in the way those basic things are structured. When the Bible uses dust in a figurative or a symbolic sense, it means something of little worth, associated with the lowliness and humility. We read in Genesis 18 and verse 27, it says, "And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 8, there it says, "He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. And we read in 1 Kings 16 in verse 2, there it says, for as much as I exalted thee out of the dust, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and thou hast walked in the way of Jeroboam, and hast made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins. So, in the Bible, dust is an evil, and it isn't nothing, but it's next to nothing. With God's divine breath, man became a living being. Like other forms of animal life, the Hebrew term shei nefesh, living being, is used in Genesis 1, verse 20 through 21, and also here. In Genesis 1, verse 20 and 21, there it says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, and fowl, that they may fly above the earth in open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. But man is the only living being made in the image of God. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, there it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. From our text, the Hebrew word for breath is ruah. It's spelled R-U-A-C-H and it's pronounced ruah. It's the very sound of breath. It is the same word for spirit or for wind. Ruah is described as a wind in Exodus 10 in verse 13. There it says, and Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locust. It is described as a spirit in Judges 6 and verse 34, and also in 1 Kings 18 and verse 12. Judges 6 and verse 34, it says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. 1 Kings 18 and 12 says, and it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. And then, in Job, it is translated as breath. In Job 12 and verse 10, it says, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? God created man by putting his breath, his spirit, within him. The implication is that man was specifically created by God's breathing some of his own breath into him. And from our text, the King James Version reads, man became a living soul. This makes some wonder if the man is a soul or if the man has a soul. This verse seems to indicate that the man is a soul. While verses like 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and Hebrews 4 and 12 seem to indicate that the man has a soul. in these verses, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, there it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, there it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So it seems that the scriptures speak both ways and uses the term in different ways and in different contexts. In closing, we understand that life is precious because God breathed into us the breath of life. Our life has more meaning than living, collecting worldly possessions, or dying. And no matter what, we are human beings loved by God, who can be saved by Jesus, and who has a special purpose in this life by God. The breath of God gave us life. The breath of God is why we are special in His sight. It is an awesome thought that with every breath we take, the name of God is on our lips. The question is, are we going to waste the breath of God? Or will we take life by the grace of God and live it to its fullest, to His glory? Psalms 150 and verse 6. It's the last verse in the book of Psalms. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." If there's any that is subject to the gospel call, I bid you come before we stand and sing.